It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here again, as usual, right in the studio on another sunny, bright, albeit warm, Northeast Florida Saturday. It looks like at least the bulk of the weekend is going to be good for all the outdoor activities that everybody's got planned on the Memorial Day weekend. So while you're out there having fun, don't forget why, because a lot of people gave a lot so that we could do this. Meanwhile, if you got a swimming pool, don't think you'll need the heater. I imagine yours is pretty nice right now.
It's pretty nice, yeah, definitely.
These good days to live in Northeast Florida.
No doubt about it.
It will get a little less comfortable as time goes by, but it's still wonderful. There weren't many people out today, so I gather that a lot of them are already where they were going, or it's just going to be one heck of an afternoon. But aside from a couple of race cars on Butler, it was pretty quiet out there, and it's pretty quiet here in the building. So we haven't seen a lot of activity right now.
The traffic at the beach yesterday was
probably
the heaviest I've ever seen just getting home from the office. It was insane.
Oh, man. What can you say? At least people are utilizing it. That's something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move along here and talk about some money. Meanwhile, all the regulars, welcome back. You know, we depend on you week after week. Going toward the middle of the 10th year of doing the show. And no plans to slow down or stop or veer left or right or anything as long as people appreciate it, and as long as we're having fun, which kind of all go together, we're just going to carry on carrying on. There is never a time when there aren't things to talk about. And let's face it, there are few topics in the world that apply to people as universally as personal finance and investing. Everybody has some money, and everybody has some uses for it. Getting it together and trying to grow one without running out of the other is a constant battle, but that's what we're here for. Anyway, if you're new to the show, driving out to the beach or whatever, and just happen to have the radio on, or if you've been told about it by someone, which could include us because we're constantly spreading the word, then try to stick around for the whole hour. I always promise that you'll learn something. And, of course, this is a live call-in show, which means some of you out there who are alive should call in. To do that, just 904-222-8255, question, comment, whatever. Remember, there are no dumb questions. There are people who don't know things that you don't know, and if you ask the question and they're listening, then you'll all get it answered. You can also reach us at our website, vanweefinancial.com, and you can set up appointments. We do offer a one-hour no-charge consultation for anybody who asks, during which we will test each other's need or desire for each other. But meanwhile, we'll try to give you the best advice that you can get from anybody, regardless of price. And I think we've lived up to that quite well. It's always interesting when you meet new people. There's so much we've learned just from talking to people, many of whom did not become clients, but many of whom have. So give us a shout out. All right, this week in the market, there's kind of a little disagreement going on. Adam didn't think it was a good week, but I figure when a big index closes at an all-time high that something went right. There are some measurement problems we all have with the way we test what the market means. But in general, we needed a pause. Thursday got more than a pause, but we don't want to run up too high, too fast. And while it consolidates a little bit, hopefully we'll kick up again. But meanwhile, there were some highlights, and I will let Adam walk through those with you.
I mean, you say a new all-time high, but the S&P was up 1.4 points, not percent, points. It's literally a 0.0% change. That is not a good week. That is a flat week.
Okay, but what if you're NASDAQ-oriented?
I mean, yeah, tech, what if you're Dow-oriented? So
The
reason that we're having this argument is that the Dow was down 2.3% or 934 points. So pretty bad week on the Dow, but the NASDAQ was up 1.4% or 234 points. And so I think actually our assets under management were up slightly this week.
That would indicate that I think you're your even was really, really close.
It's pretty close.
Might have had a little uptick.
I think a slight positive bias, but it wasn't.
There were some dividends paid out this week that really helped that.
We do have a sizable chunk in QQQ, and that certainly had a good
week, in various forms, actually.
Yeah, so that helped. But anyways, it was just a kind of a strange week. One of the reasons for that was NVIDIA, which released its earnings on Wednesday and pretty much blew the doors off every estimate out there and had one of the best quarters in modern history.
Yeah, even the people we accuse of overestimating got blown away.
Yeah. So apparently the AI boom is real and people can't get enough of NVIDIA's chips, and their data center revenue this quarter was $22.6 billion. Last year, this quarter, it was $4.3 billion. Oh, that's some growth.
Well, the one thing we know for sure, you can't sustain that level of growth for very long.
No, definitely not. But if you can sustain these profit margins, which are currently at 69.3%, that's okay.
That's funny, though. You'd think the administration would be coming down on those, because those greedy corporations are the problem with
America. A windfall profit, right? We should tax the heck out of that. Yeah. They also announced a 10-for-1 stock split, and that has no actual effect on the value of the company, much to many people's surprise. People think that a stock split increases the value of the company. It does not.
It will have an impact on some of the indices. There are various ways that indices are created, and a lower price will affect some indices.
Only a price-weighted index, though, like the Dow. Yeah. But the thing that a stock split does do is it gives the perception of the company being cheaper to buy, which is not true.
No.
But it is the perception that is real. And so it does entice some retail buyers to buy the stock if it costs 100 instead of 1,000. But what you don't realize is that you're getting 1/10 of the value for that 100.
And that, by the way, is the subject of the trivia question for today. Oh. Stock splits.
Perfect. Okay.
Appropriate to talk about.
Yep. The utility sector has been leading the way higher in this month, but it was not this week. It was down 1.25%, but that was not even close to the biggest loser of the week. That distinction went to the energy sector, which lost 4%. Financials were the second worst. They were off just over 2%. There's only two sectors that were up that were positive. The one was communications services. That was by 0.1%. And the other one was technology, much to no one's surprise after everything I just said, but that was up 3.4%, and that pretty much saved the week.
But there was a little tiny sector in the energy arena, natural gas.
I didn't pull it up.
Number one performer of the week.
Oh, wow. What was it up? Did you?
It was up 34%.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
And that took it up to really dirt cheap.
Yeah, no kidding. international stocks were off as well this week, just less than 1%, though. But some notable moves: the Chinese market dropped more than 5%, and Hong Kong did as well. I don't know what drove those. I could not find a reason for it.
I didn't see anything specific.
Brazil and Mexico were also off more than 4%. So some of the recent high flyers really got whacked this week. I don't know what was driving that.
It's just relook, a balance, a pause, whatever you want to call it.
Maybe. European stocks were off a much more reasonable 0.5%. Well, emerging markets were off 1.5%. But if you take out China, they were off just 0.4%.
Good. Yeah, there's a lot of international strength right now. And I think we've been talking almost enough about this recently. But if you look at the holdings you have in an international and they're light, you might want to talk about beefing up a little bit. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back with more. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have, as usual, a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. To call Ken, dial 904-636-7888. The 904 now is becoming more important since we're a 2-area code metro area now, so don't forget that. I know even in our breaks when they say call the show 222-8255, don't forget we're in the original 904. Otherwise, you might just not get us. That would be horrible. All right, stock splits. NVIDIA announced a 10-to-1 split this week, and the market loved that because, as Adam was saying before the break, the perception is when the stock price gets lower, somehow it's cheaper to get in, and that's really not true. There's another perception that says when the stock splits, it immediately starts to trend back to its pre-split price. That's also not true. In fact, the next few weeks on average have been lower performance than the times before. But you'll never stop people from thinking that way. And it is true that if you want to have a whole share or a whole lot or anything like that, yes, the lower price helps. But there's another thing to think about these days. First off, you hold most of these things as part of an index share or a sector fund that you own. And the other thing is, it is now very easy and very inexpensive to trade fractional shares. So don't be afraid to buy into an expensive stock. It is not going to cost you more to do so. In fact, it will be exactly the same. How about that?
Yeah, that's right.
Things have changed. A lot of things have changed, and some of them for the better. And one of them, I don't encourage individual stock buying because of this, but the free trading that has pretty much now dominated the market has been a real godsend to a lot of people. And it used to be if you wanted to shuffle a portfolio, for instance, we would get a lot of people, new clients come in, they might have 50 or 100 stocks. And it's a lot of risk and a lot of mess and a lot to monitor. And we generally would take our time and sell out of a bunch of them in favor of our broader asset allocations. And in order to do that, we had to look at tax and impact, but we also had to look at the cost of liquidating. And now you look at the tax impact, but nobody cares about the cost of liquidating.
No.
That's a real plus in the market, and I credit actually Schwab. Charles Schwab started the whole thing by lowering prices, and he instigated the whole free trade thing. So he's accomplished a lot in a lifetime. Now, if he'd improve his website a little bit, I'd be without anything to complain about. And that would be horrible.
Yeah. No, that would be okay.
Oh, that's not how I see it.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
It wasn't a bad week to be an equity investor, but it was a really bad week to be a commodity investor, unless you bought natural gas, right, in which case you probably made some money. But the commodities index was off by 0.8%. Oil was down 2.1, gold 3.5, and silver 3.7.
Yeah, so what do you think that drop in oil was all about?
I don't know, honestly. It's going into the summer driving season, and I think maybe the perception is the economy's weakening and there won't be as much travel.
Could be.
I did see a survey this week that said something like 54% of households canceled their summer vacations
because
they
couldn't.
Something like that. But it was a high number of families that were not going to travel this summer because of the price of everything.
Yeah, I saw that same thing, and it's not something the administration should be proud of.
But at the same time, all the warnings this morning were Memorial Day traffic to be the worst on record.
Yep.
In airports, on the roads, so I don't know what to make of it. Once again, just confusing, conflicting data.
When you wrap up everything you want to say about this week's market, I've got some perception versus reality stuff here. And it kind of fits right in with what we've been talking about for over a year now. There seem to be two different things going on. It's either horrible out there or it's not horrible.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can't tell.
And it could be in the same sector of the economy that you're looking at. You can find one that says this is awful and one that says this is really great.
Yeah, if we'd made a range of forecasts for a normal year, we'd say, well, maybe it'll be between 2 and 17% up. And a forecast this year might be somewhere between 12 down and 12 up, but you got to be on both sides of it because there's just no way to predict this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably be better off with a dart and a dartboard than you would by trying to be smart because it's so weird. But we'll get to that in a moment.
Did you see what they blame the drop in the market on Thursday for?
I don't think I heard anything intelligent.
They said that the Fed meeting minutes were released, and several Fed members indicated that they would be willing to raise rates should the situation warrant that.
That's their job.
Yes. And also,
because of those words you said, should the situation warrant.
Correct. But also, would you rather see lower rates with rampant inflation again? Would that be a better solution?
They don't think that far ahead.
I mean,
remember something. It's very important. When you're listening to these people, the smartest guy in the room is not going to be the one on your TV.
Yeah, that's fair.
I thought so.
But just I just thought that was crazy. Yes, of course they're open to raising rates if they need to. I mean,
read their job descriptions.
It's ridiculous.
Come on, people.
Existing home sales dropped again last month and are now down 5% over the last 2 months. This was confirmed by rising inventories, which are now at the highest level since December of 2020. They're still down 25% from where they were at the end of 2019, though. They have risen every month so far in 2024, so we're definitely seeing a trend on inventories.
That's good news.
Yeah, but we're still just sitting at 3.5 months of supply, and that hasn't slowed down price increases at all. In fact, inventories have climbed 22% this year, but prices are up 7% on an annualized basis. How does that make sense? That's a perfect example.
Fit it right into the slot of question marks.
It does not make sense at all.
It does not.
It's really weird. It was a similar story in new home sales this month, where the report showed a 4.7% decline in sales from last month. That's a pretty significant slide. There were 480,000 new homes for sale in April, which is the highest since 2008.
Wow.
And yet prices are climbing?
It's weird.
It makes no sense.
I agree.
Wages have not climbed fast enough to keep up with soaring housing costs either. Affordability is at the lowest point since the 1980s. Mm. Now, that is a key reason why everyone says the economy is so bad.
Angela, on the prior show, Angela was going over some of those statistics, and it was really mind-boggling.
Yep. However, a lot of that is just mortgage rates. So if rates drop from 7 to 5%, it would require half as many hours work to afford a typical house in the United States as it does right now.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Did I finish asking the trivia question? It was the eighth split this year. What's the average number of
maybe you didn't.
Splits in the period? It seems to me I forgot to
pose
the question.
Just redo it.
Yeah. NVIDIA was the eighth split announced this year, which is high for lately. What was the average number of splits per year in the period from 1990 to the Great Recession in 2007? So if I didn't get that out, I apologize. Anyway, I'm sorry, you were so rudely interrupted.
No, that was actually my last point on the market wrap. So good timing with your remembering to get the trivia. Yeah. So we're at 8 this year, and you want to know what
the average number was before the Great Recession, between 1990 and 2007.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a hint. No, I'm not. Okay. It was either more than that or less than that.
Yeah. So speaking of things that are not making or are conflicting, the economy's terrible, and yet retirement account balances hit the highest level since 2021. And
that's at a reduced savings rate that's been happening since after COVID was kind of out of the picture.
You know, that's not necessarily true. It might be true overall, but in the 401k, this study, which was done by AARP, it found that the average 401k savings rate hit a record high of 14.2%.
Household saving rates have been tapering down because people are having trouble meeting their monthly expenses.
Yeah.
But they are doing a good job in their tax-deferred retirement accounts.
Which is good.
That's to their credit.
Yeah, but I was surprised that 14.2%, that was much higher than I would have guessed.
That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if anybody wants to know what's going on, don't think you're the Lone Ranger. This came from a recent study. I can't remember who did it, but it doesn't really matter because it's a Harris poll. It was a good name in polling, and I tend to accept what they found. It was a survey of 2,000 participants. 56% believe that we're experiencing a recession right now. 55% believe the economy is shrinking, i.e. the GDP going down. 72% believe inflation is going up, and they are kind of wrong. It's higher than they're being reported, but remember, we have come from 9.2 in June of 2002 to what we are now, which is arguably 3.5-ish. Now, 49% think the current unemployment rate is at a 50-year high. It is certainly not.
No.
49% believe that the S&P 500 is on the decline. It is up 12% so far this year. Why is this? Well, the GDP is growing. That is true. I'd say Bob is on the phone, but we are right on the next break. So if you can hold on through the break, we'd appreciate it, because they're just not. This won't turn out well if we try to get it in. Anyway, there seem to be two parts to the economy, the one in your house and the one in America. And that's where I think we're getting a lot of the discrepancy. All right, we'll talk about this, and we'll take the phone call right after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are happy that we have a phone call. I wanted to just mention again what we were wrapping up. There's a few more things to talk about it, but that the economy, perception, and the economic realities of life, I don't think have ever been further apart. And we can talk about that ad nauseum later. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
We're great. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. 10-4.
Oh, great, 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 great. I'm on my porch trying to stay out of the sun.
Mm-hmm. Good plan.
Hey, I need to make an appointment to come see you guys. I'll get online and make an appointment. We've got a lot going on. The economy is not very good, but people that have small homestead commercial farms are doing real well because the people don't want to buy some of the government stuff that's washed and bleached and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's good.
We're doing real well.
My wife would like to ask you if you can grow a good tomato.
We've got tomatoes in the ground right now. Yeah, good. Yeah. So, but we'll see. We had a tornado come through the farm a couple weeks ago.
No kidding.
And that disrupted things a little bit. But and the hurricane last year. So we've had some climate events, you know. So anyhow, I wanted to take a stab at the trivia too.
Okay, sure.
I'd say 13.
13 is the right direction, but it's too low.
Okay. Yep. All right. Okay. Well, hey, a swag doesn't hurt everyone.
No, it helps everyone.
It sets a parameter.
The only person that it doesn't help is, of course, Ken Bales. Might wind up shelling out. You never know.
You never know. Hey, we enjoy. I've been so busy with what's going on here that I haven't been able to call in, but we listen to you every week. I have the radio in my RTV as I scoot around the farm, and I listen every Saturday.
Well, we appreciate
that. We enjoy
that.
It, and you guys provide a valuable service.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
All right, so what else is going on?
Are you talking? No, I think he hung up.
Could be. I still just see the light on. Anyway, that's interesting about the local farmers, because I know people are concerned about that, and you know, I still see that it should be hooked up. Bob, if you're there, could you call back if you got anything else to discuss, and we'll pick it up right away. Anyway, this perception versus reality thing is flummoxing, I guess.
It is, and you see it with the administration too, and they're very frustrated, and it's very, very apparent when you see them talk about it, because they point to the stats that they want to point to, and it's very easy to do. I get why they do it. The good stats are very good right now. But
the number of people employed.
Yeah.
The unemployment rate. Good.
Available jobs. Good.
GDP is indeed growing.
Home prices. If you're a homeowner, you're probably sitting on a bunch of equity. Your 401k balance is probably near an all-time high.
Yeah.
So it's easy to point to those things and say, look at all we've done. But if you ask the average person out on the street, they're going to tell you we're in a recession.
Well, I'll tell you how I think they're screwing this up. They're not telling the truth about inflation. The government never does.
That is,
but it's not
this bad. Yeah, that's right.
The problem with inflation, I wrote it out here. When inflation comes down, prices still go up, but slower.
Yeah.
Biden comes out time after time, and he convicts in the media all the greedy corporations because they won't lower their prices now that inflation is coming down. Right. Well, their costs are not going down.
No, they're
crazy,
not.
Uncle Joe. Their costs are still rising.
Right.
When the costs come down, that's called deflation. We want deflation in commodities that have gone up too high. We want deflation in interest rates, but we don't want deflation in the general economy.
Yeah. Do you really want the price of your house to go down by 10%?
I don't think so.
Now, the 24-year-old who's looking to buy his first place, he wants that to happen.
Exactly.
But do you as a homeowner want that to happen? No. So what is deflation good for the economy? No, not particularly.
No. In fact, the appropriate level of inflation is a subject that's been discussed throughout time, basically. And when I was studying these things many decades ago, it was thought to be around 3. The Fed goes for 2. I think that's artificially low. But the theory of having a little inflation is it's an incentive for people to buy now because otherwise it's going to be more expensive.
For sure.
It's an incentive for companies to produce now because otherwise it's going to be more expensive to do so later, and it defers sales. And that's all true. The problem comes in when it's too high because then your inputs start to go up really badly. The other problem with inflation as it's measured is that there's 2 different kinds of households. Those with a 3% mortgage and those who are looking to buy a house. Mm-hmm. If you get a 3% mortgage, your biggest monthly cost is fixed. Inflation hasn't impacted it one little bit, except that it's made your house more valuable.
Right.
But people who are renting, they really took it hard over the past couple of years. It's slowing a little bit now. But renters are really, really paying the price. They are experiencing the true inflation. The true inflation over the last 3 years has been astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Food prices, they say, are up about 20%. You know, and I know that most food prices are up more than that.
Oh, clearly. I mean, your McDonald's average ticket is probably double what it was.
So now we're starting to see a couple reactions. Target went through its inventory, and they started marking some things down.
Walmart, too.
But it's not because Biden told them they're greedy. It's because their sales are falling.
Yeah.
People can't afford to buy the stuff at that price. They want their market share back, and they're willing to do drastic things to do it, which is fine in a big environment like that because your marginal costs are a lot less than your fixed costs. If your business is operating at capacity plus 30%, fine. Try to get to 35%, and you'll make nothing but money on it. But if you're operating at 90%, that doesn't work for you. So they want their market share back, and that's good. I have no problem with that.
I could see Publix being next.
Yeah.
To do the same.
They would love to. We would love for them to do that.
Yes.
Because it's out of sight.
It's crazy.
So you look at a place like McDonald's now, where the $24 meal, that they had developed a concept of a $5 meal. They started implementing it in a few places earlier this year, and the franchisees hated it because they weren't making much money on it. Sales were low. But they're suffering now, again, from lack of market share because people can't afford it. In fact, going to McDonald's now, I heard this week, is considered a luxury item. Can you believe that, people? A luxury item.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? They implemented a $5 value meal. I'll bet they sell so many of those things in the next few weeks.
Sell like crazy.
It will be astronomical, the number of people going to McDonald's. And that's actually a bargain.
Yeah, it is. That's a very good deal.
Yeah. And other people are coming in with the same thing. They're not alone. There are some people, as we've talked about a couple of times, like the In-N-Out Burger, who took the other approach, and they did everything they could to keep the inflation down and keep their prices reasonable, and they're winning. I would have to say they're winning. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. Good quality, reasonable prices. Now, they can't probably do any more cutting because they've done pretty much what there is available to do. But you're going to start seeing some innovative things like that happen. But it doesn't fix the problem.
You know, I took my son to soccer practice this week, and we stopped on the way to get a smoothie, and a 32-ounce Angel Food smoothie or something at Smoothie King, I believe. Guess how much it was?
Well, if you tell me it's more than $5.99, I won't be surprised.
$10.
$10.
$10 for a smoothie. It's out of control.
All right, let's take this one step further. Most Americans, they either pay their rent or their mortgage. All right, so one of them is really affected, one isn't. But now let's talk about everything else. You stop for gas, you go to the grocery store, run through McDonald's, pick up clothes for the kids for school, all those other things you do, the daily expenses of living, pay your utility bills, whatever. That money is after-tax money. If it goes up, let's say 3.5%, mm-hmm. let's use the government figure right now, and you make 3.5% more,
you're
losing.
You're negative, yep.
Yeah, you got 7% out for the mandatory payroll taxes, and if you're making enough money to be a taxpayer, you got another 12, 15, whatever percent. So in order to do that 3.5%, you probably have to earn 5 or 5.5% more money.
Yep.
That is not happening. And in fact, during the Biden presidency, the average household now pays $1,100 a month more for the exact same goods and services that they paid at the end of the Biden term.
Yeah, and they don't make $1,100 a month after taxes more.
No, they would have, they would have to make $1,600 a month or something more.
Right.
And that isn't happening, and it hasn't happened, and it won't happen.
And then on top of that, he's already stated he wants to let the Trump tax cuts expire, which will just
that
make
would
the
add $200 a month
even worse
for every family in the country.
Yeah, it's just it's not a winning proposition.
No, it is not. And taxes are not tax deductible either.
No,
just like all the other expenses. No. This is out of hand, and I think if you watched any of Thursday night with Trump in the Bronx, you heard some things that are actual proposals to do some actual good about the actual way we all live. I'll touch on that right after a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question is still open. We have had announced this year 8 stock splits, and that is pretty good for lately. What was the average number of stock splits per year between 1990 and the Great Recession of 2007? And we know that 13 is too low. So you got a sort of a bracket, at least a low limit. All right, but Adam and I were talking at the break. Perception is in the eyes of the beholder. I think that's the definition of the word, isn't it? Perceive, perception.
Yeah, pretty sure.
So if you're beholding your own life in your own house, and you're running out of money before you run out of month, your perception is not going to be very positive. People extrapolate that to the national economy, and you get
whether it's
what we
correct
have now.
Or true or not, that your perception is your
and
reality.
And it doesn't matter
nope.
exactly how true or not something is. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
I had a question about a Roth account.
Sure.
Okay, I retired May 3rd mm-hmm. this year.
Okay.
So next year, can I make a full Roth contribution?
This year.
For this year, yes.
Yeah. You have earned income
but
this
not
year,
next year.
This calendar year, but no, not next year.
Unless you have a spouse that works.
Right.
I'm trying to remember. I already did one this year. So.
Okay. So yeah,
there's no look back or anything then.
Can't do.
No, you have to have earned income in the year you want to make a contribution and the amount of your contribution.
Now, you could donate next year for this year, but you've already donated for this year.
Yeah, that's out too. Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember the rules. I was just listening to you guys. I figured you would know.
Oh yeah. If either spouse has earned income, either spouse can contribute based on that.
Was it just any amount? Like
up to $7,000 unless you're over 50, then it's $8,000 a year. But you have to have
how much income do I have to have next year to make a contribution?
Dollar for dollar.
Yep.
Oh, is it dollar for dollar?
Okay. Yeah. So if you got a part-time job and made $7,000, you could put all of that into a Roth.
Yeah.
But if you make 20, you're limited to 7 or 8, depending on your age.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of. Like I said, I'm taking the summer off. I'm just catching up on some other stuff. But I may go back into the marketplace, the workplace again.
Well, that would put you in the majority of people who retire these days. Some of them are going back to work because they want to, and others are because they just can't make ends meet anymore.
Hopefully you're in the want-to category.
Yeah. We'd like everybody to have as a volunteer issue. But
yeah, well, I have been blessed. I don't have to work, but I like working. So
Good
for you.
But I needed a change, so that's why I'm retired right now.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. Well, if you can do it, it's good work if you can get it, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to take a shot at our trivia question?
I figured you guys would know.
Sure. You want to take a shot at the trivia question?
What is it?
How many stock splits on average were announced every year between 1990 and 2007? And we know the number's greater than 13.
18.
Still too low, but you're on the right track.
Oh.
Yeah. Things have changed. No doubt about it. All right. We appreciate it. Have a happy holiday weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Stay safe out there. Yeah, that's nice. I'd like to hear about success stories where people plan their retirement, execute it, and now you've got that greatest thing of all, choice.
They make contributing to a Roth IRA one of the hardest things on
the
planet.
It's so stupid.
It is really difficult to qualify for.
How many years have the two of us complained about IRA rules?
They're overly restrictive.
Yeah, they just don't get a lot better either.
No.
Why should you be penalized for working for yourself or for a company that doesn't have a 401k?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
It makes no sense.
Under the 14th Amendment, I think, where we're all supposed to be treated equally, shouldn't IRA contribution levels be the same as 401k contribution levels?
You would think so.
Yeah, I could make that argument all day long, and, of course, nobody would care. Good morning, Leroy.
Hey, how are you folks doing today?
We're fine. How are you?
Oh, good. It's nice and cool out there. It's not here.
We were commenting, we ran into Adam on the parking lot on the way in here and mentioned something about, man, it's hot out there.
Yeah, fortunately.
Well, every day for the next 5 days is going to be like 95.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Stay inside.
So we're into summer real quick here.
Yeah.
No kidding. We had a pretty mild spring, though, so I can't complain.
It has been awfully cold.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. All right, I'm going to make a stab at trivia here because you're getting to the end of your program.
Uh-huh.
I would go to 22.
22. That's low.
Okay.
You see the pattern here, though, don't you? Well, might have time for a few more people to try it, but we appreciate it. You guys stay safe and cool out there.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right.
We're kind of talking about the political landscape and how the economy affects that. And I think in this election, it's going to have a huge impact on it. I think
absolutely.
It normally has a decent impact on it, but this one is really big. And you're seeing it in betting odds, actually.
Yeah.
Sites that place odds on the outcome of the election have, actually, as of this morning or yesterday, I guess, it looked like Trump was at 52% and Biden was around 40.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Democrats are around 40. Biden's a little lower than that.
39 or something.
A lot of people believe, as I do, that there's no way that man's going to be on the ballot.
That is true. But I think that is a direct correlation to the inflation and the people feeling like we are in a recession, even though technically we are not.
Yeah, I mentioned something about Trump's speech in the Bronx on Thursday night, and he hit the topic that I always hit, and he hit it head on. Drill, baby, drill.
Yep.
Day one, he has already met with the energy executives and told them, this is my platform. If you believe in my platform, please support me. And his opponents were up in arms. He already met with business executives.
Oh, no.
What kind of country is this?
Yeah. The other issue I think that is at the forefront and climbing every day is the open border. It's gotten to ridiculous levels. And then the proposal to shut it off every day at 4,000. Oh, so you can shut it? Is that... That's how that... So there is a way to do that? It's... What is that? It's
if I can most, cap it at 4, could I cap it at 3?
It's the most nonsensical policy I've possibly ever
heard of. It's not policy, though. It's an issue. You have to keep the issue alive so you can blame the other people. That's politics in the fast lane.
I guess. I don't know. I hate politics, but that... I think those three things, but the economy might be the first one.
Yeah. I mean, first off... Let's start by putting tens of thousands of Americans back to work at high wages, building pipelines, drilling, running offshore rigs, in-ground rigs, pipeline transportation all over the place. Let's just refineries, building, adding on. Let's get that done. Let's start some nuke plants. This whole thing is so manageable.
Yeah.
And it's not being managed at all. But Trump does have the right idea that all inflation starts there, and what exacerbates it is government spending.
100%. That is correct.
Remember, was it in 07 maybe? Remember the guy that started the whole stop spending thing? He was on the New York Stock Exchange. I can't remember his name exactly, but it starts with S. But he started ranting, stop spending, stop spending. And he absolutely nailed it, but nobody listened.
No.
We've got to get this country back under control, which brings me to how many of you are familiar with the name Javier Milei?
Yeah, he's the Argentinian
president of Argentina.
Yeah.
Yep, brand new. He is, of course, reviled by many. When he took over, inflation was about 300%, and 40% of the population was in poverty. He said he'd come in, I call him Chainsaw Javier. He became Chainsaw Javier. What do you think happened?
I know what happened, but it's pretty interesting.
Inflation dropped to 11%.
From?
300.
Pretty incredible.
And the government showed a slight surplus. First time since 2008.
Hmm.
What did he do? Well, he started cutting overnight, closed government departments. Just next morning, they didn't exist anymore. The Ministry of Culture, for one. The Anti-Discrimination Agency, the state-owned news service was shut.
Yes, that seems like a good idea.
Pravda. He's going to fire now. This was announced last month. He's going to fire another 70,000 state employees.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's not apologizing anybody.
I wonder if anyone noticed that all of those departments were cut. The average person.
That's a very, very good question. I appreciate that question. He threw out rent controls. Hear that, New York?
Yeah, the one of the worst conceived ideas in the history of the world.
He threw up price controls. Hear that, Nixon?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? And cut back on workers' rights, including astronomically long maternity leave, and striking workers can now be fired. They hate him. They really hate him, and he's not budging. Take heed, America. Just watch. It is something to behold in a country like that. They need it in a lot more places right now.
So
between 1990 and 2007, the average number of stock splits in a year was 45. Since then, that rate has been cut by about 80%. We might start seeing it again because prices are getting so high. It even sounds like the prices are high, and I think that perception is going to play well with a lot of people. Well, have a wonderful Memorial Day. We'll see you next week, same time. Don't get hurt.